Dick Toledo here, and you've found the resting place for all HMS podcasting. 98KUPD.com, within the 98KUPD app, and PodcastOne.com. And this week, all podcasting content is brought to you by our friends at Chapman Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Check out their hundreds of new and used inventory at ChapmanDodge.com.
You want to get away, far away, to a place people aren't. You know what'll get you there? A Jeep. That's right, an off-road machine with a big lift and big tires. A rolling definition of go big or go home. And at Chapman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you can save big on every new Jeep during the Jeep Adventure Days. Happening now. Visit us at the Scottsdale Auto Show off the 101 and Indian School Road, or do it all online at ChapmanDodge.com. Chapman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Get more.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
The old method of treatment for a person in this condition was to throw him in jail.
Thank you, Inept Hero. Another perfect start to the day. It's going to be hot again, though. We're starting to get that pushback on heat. But big deal. Had a nice couple days there in between. Got a little hope for the fall. I'm getting emails from people like crazy. Every one of you has been scammed, and every one of you is throwing your horror stories at me. Knock it off. I got my own thing I'm dealing with this thing. I don't want to hear your problems. You got to listen to my problems. That's how this operation works. Don't you realize that? Man, it's bad. Like, there's tons of this. One dude had 2 years of a nightmare. Almost had to quit his job just to clear his name. And no fun. So watch out for that identity stuff. It's no good. Brady, I'm looking at you. That mug is tempting.
Hey, there's
that mug is
been
tempting.
Some people that have had some shopping sprees over the years.
Have you had a couple?
Yeah.
Have you lost?
Yeah,
I've had some shopping sprees.
I had a $900 one up in Boston at a Toys R Us. Yeah. That was a couple years ago.
I had one in the Dominican.
Are you in Boston right now?
Yeah. I got a call and said, would you spend the weekend in Puerto Rico and Miami? I'm like, no, I absolutely didn't. And they said, we noticed that you got gas in Mesa and then bought some dinner in some place in Puerto Rico and then the Caribbean. I was getting hammered. And the American Express caught it. But that's just stealing your credit card number. Yeah. The Social Security number thing is horrifying. Yeah. Because that's you can't get that back. Like, that's it.
This one guy,
I didn't know you could change your Social Security number. The guy said it like 2 years. I almost had to change my whole deal. And he'd take your identity away completely. And he's like, I almost had to change my social. I fought through that for 2 years. So, yeah, be careful with all that stuff. I'm getting a lot of emails. Like, people are emailing about football. We were talking about it off the air, about the ratings. Like, they're trying to hype up a couple of the games. But overall, Thursday night's game, nobody watched. I mean, by comparison, it was decent, but it was, and the ratings for things are not where I actually thought they would be. I thought the NFL was going to break records.
We
because,
need this.
Because, yeah, I thought people were bored. Caliendo made a good point on the podcast today. It said, I think the pandemic has taught people hobbies and other things they might be interested in, to where they're actually kind of finding other stuff to do around the house, hanging out with the fam.
I think a lot of people also just weren't aware. Would for the first time ever really saying that no one, not no one, but they're not aware that the season was ready to go and start.
Really?
I think that there's a huge
dummy.
Portion of that.
You think there's a bunch of people that weren't aware of the NFL starting?
I do.
Wow.
Because I think those are the casual fans that pad those numbers.
Maybe.
Opening day of baseball, other than the talk that happened, and I wasn't a huge follower, but that happened.
High. Baseball has no.
Oh, that's right. Opening day was last.
Yeah, there's nobody watching baseball. Like those seats are empty, and I think they would be anyway. There's something like really bad. And basketball's numbers are way down. Hockey's like it didn't ever exist when you look at the local ratings and TV ratings and things. It's bad. And I started to wonder like how much of that was political and the basis of politics. And I think that like 90% of the general population is just dead fed up with having everything thrown in their face, and whether they agree with it or not. Like, how do you disagree with the end zone saying end racism? How do you disagree with the message? But you don't want it thrown at you constantly. And I think as a group, we're all kind of like, nah, I agree with it. I just don't turn to sports for that. And there's something that athletes need to hear, especially basketball. It's like, we appreciate your opinion. We don't want it.
Well, it's like that guy that called in on the Fireside Chat last week. He says, I'm done with the NFL. I don't want all this thrown down me. I watch it to escape. I don't watch it for my politics. I got my own politics.
That's what
I
sports are. Yeah. It's escapism. Yeah. You find it to go, I've got enough of my – I got enough problems in my own life.
Yeah.
I got enough stuff to sit back and go, now I've got to sit and be socially aware while I'm trying to just escape through a kid's game. And I think people have kind of – I didn't expect it. I actually was way off the mark on that. Now, they are saying that the game with the Buccaneers and Saints was a monster. But that's the Tom Brady W. Right. So what we But what we like is the storyline. We like the names and we like the WWE storyline. We wanted to see Tom Brady. Probably most of us wanted to see him fail as a Buccaneer. We wanted to see that whole operation unfold.
And now the
I was guilty of that. That's the only reason I watched that.
The saga continues on that because BA is being very harsh.
Yeah, and Bruce Arians came out and said he sucked.
Yeah,
that's not the Tom Brady we signed up. That's for sure. And he was being, and that's WWE stuff. Now the coach is saying, "Wow, the greatest player of all time stunk." His new coach is not Belichick. He's mouthy. And it's interesting, but that's what you get now. You get that whole thing. And and then you get things like the anthem, which we talked about. I kind of dodged it as best I could. Like, I'm going to watch the games 5 minutes after scheduled start time because I just don't – look, I get it. It's a thing. I don't care. I'm dead honest when I say I just don't care if the safety for the Texans is kneeling or not. I just do not care.
Right.
And you couldn't make me care even a little bit. That's and it has nothing to do with the topic. I just don't care.
Yeah.
I'm tired of mono thought. I'm tired of being told if you sit for this, you're good. If you stand for that, you're bad. And if you don't agree with it, you're a racist. I think people are sick of saying, I can't have an opinion, so I just choose not to be involved. And I think that's where we're going with this. But the funny part was, and this is in no means to try to be divisive and stuff, but people are saying it's not disrespectful to kneel for the American National Anthem. But not one person was allowed to kneel during the Black National Anthem when they played that. And I wonder if one person said, this is not my anthem, I'm going to take a seat, what would happen to them?
I have to wonder
what would happen. Now, look, it's the same exact stance that anyone else
is
taking.
It would piss somebody off.
It would infuriate people because the only thing you're allowed to do is get in line. Alejandro Villanueva, the Steelers, I just read that thing, had written a soldier's name on the back of the helmet of the Steelers, and the rest of the Steelers had written the name of a kid in Pittsburgh who was, both are legitimate stories. Mm-hmm. And the Steelers had this, and he scribbled, he's an Army Ranger with a history that is absolutely unbelievable if you read about it. And again, Brady pointed out off there, he's like, who knows if it's real? And you know what? You're right. Because Pat Tillman's story was unbelievable until we found out the truth.
Right.
And then it was just a complete botched mess. But they sold it to us. But as of right now, it's pretty believable because it's backed up by his other guy. And who knows? Maybe they're all paid and everything's a scam. But he wrote that on the back of his helmet, like, this is a soldier that fell, and I'm going to honor him. And he's getting some praise, and he's getting a little heat. Like, why would you do that? Why would you step out? Now, they're trying to make a story out of it, saying, why would you step away from your team unity?
Yeah, because but it's I'm a not team
seeing,
sport.
I'm not seeing team unity anymore. I'm seeing team
pockets of division.
I'm seeing dictatorships of thought. It's like, I have a cause, and I have to be on your cause, or I'm racist. That's the criteria for how to feel. If I don't do exactly what everyone else is doing, I'm then the opposite of that. I can still have emotions about what you're doing. I have more for this. Does that make me wrong? And they say that, when Drew Brees said, I don't like this. But I wonder, during the Black National Anthem, I've talked to two black guys who told me they didn't know that existed. I didn't even know that we had one. He said, I've heard it. I didn't know that was it. If you'd have played it, I'd have been like, I'm not so sure. And it was a funny conversation. We weren't being serious at all. But, if anybody would have said, I sit down for that. I only stand for the American National Anthem. I don't stand for God Bless America during baseball games. When they try to get you in the seventh inning, say, please honor the American. That's not our anthem, so I don't have to stay. I don't feel any obligation to that. I can go get a beer during that one. That's not in the bylaws of the anthem. I don't have to stand up for anything. When they played Lee Greenwood at a baseball game, people stood up. We don't know when we're supposed to anymore. We're so afraid to be wrong.
In the causeways of the stadiums, there's plenty of commerce going on during the anthem.
Right, yeah. And maybe it should and maybe it shouldn't, but the bottom line is the anthem's the one.
Yeah.
And, I understand you're kneeling, but are you not allowed to do it to other stuff? Because is that the protest? Because I'm wondering if anybody says I'm not standing for this, what happens to them?
It seems like there's a no-win, too, because you get some teams that'll stand, some that'll kneel, and then you got the other teams that are sitting in that aren't, they're not even coming out for the anthem. And then they're getting railed, too.
Right. And it has nothing to do with the cause. It has everything to do with the NFL Network and ESPN having stories for 24 hours.
Yeah,
all of it is like, because now Jerry Jones is like, Dontari Poe knelt during the anthem. Well, and the Cowboys said they weren't going to, and he broke rank. Okay. And they're like, Jerry Jones, you're a racist old man. What did you think of that? Are you going to? And they're just trying to soundbite Jerry and trap him into saying something that they can then turn back and say, oh, your owner said you shouldn't have. It's crazy. And it's we're so lost.
One good thing to come out of it, I guess, is if they're kneeling or standing, they show it on the field that they're one team.
Yeah.
At least there hasn't been a dissension when that, you know, because that's the whole part
of it. Chris Myers.
Once you hit the field, everything goes away. You got
right.
This guy's back. I got your back.
But Chris Myers said the anthem played. 13 of the, I forget what team he was doing, but 13 of these guys knelt. Two stood, and then most were arms in arm.
He's doing a roll call.
He did a statistic for
yeah.
it. And the Steelers, same on Monday night. When Fowler and Herb Street were up there, and Fowler said, most of the Giants stood, about 7 or 8 did not. The Steelers stood, blah, blah. And they gave me an update on anthem kneelings as a statistic now. And that's all storyline. That has nothing to do with the cause or anything else. Yeah, you're right, Brett. I think it's a lose-lose. But I'm surprised. I'm actually surprised the ratings were not that great. I'm really kind of surprised.
It seems like it shows a little reflection of that people are burnt out on that.
We're tired of being preached to.
Yeah.
We have our own issues. Humanity has its own issue. Every individual has its own thing. And it sounds terrible to say it that way, but everybody has their own little inner personal holocaust going on. Everyone. That's what that book, Man's Search for Meaning, is all about.
Yeah.
You hear a guy who sat in Auschwitz, stripped down bare, naked, had nothing left but his mind. Nothing. And found a way to get from one day to the next without being so down, and basically said, your problems are your problems. You look at mine and say, I don't know how you survived it. I even with that in my history, can look at yours and go, I don't know how you're getting through that. Because everybody's problems are different. And the last thing you want is everyone else's problems told to you and how to think about them. Because you got your own crap going on. Everybody does. That's why we turn to sports. I love sports. And I don't even mind a message on the court saying, you know what? I don't mind the jersey names. But I don't. Like every interview and everything has to be like, oh, this is such an important thing. And if you would disagree with it, you're awful. It's like, no, I don't disagree with it. I disagree with being preached to and having this happen. And I don't think that they're going down a good road for that.
I think people are just getting sick of it being shoved down their throat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, okay, make your statement. That's fine. But don't shove it down my throat.
And it does feel that way.
Yeah.
That it's, and it's, I don't think it's the player's fault. I think it's the presentation. I think the networks
totally
love
agree.
It. I think the NFL secretly loves it. I think they have a whole secondary world they're developing of WWE storylines that can make people feel crazy about their game. And I don't know that it's working. I don't know that that's it. But again, they're trying to cast off the older viewers. And that's another thing nobody pays attention to. In the world of marketing, when you start to skew older, you have to get rid of them. And I feel like that's kind of what's going on in all sports. Basketball's got to do a reset every 15 years. Football's about every 25. And baseball hasn't done it ever. And they've got an average audience age in its late 50s. And they're struggling to get young people. They don't know how to do it. Basketball's doing it. Football's they're active. They love the 22-year-old. And you lose – WWE invented it. You lose your ratings for a year to rebuild the younger audience and get rid of the older one. And I feel like that's kind of what's going on.
Maybe a big chunk of it goes away when the country unites tomorrow night for the Browns and the Bengals.
Well, that's going to be –
there's a unity
the Battle
candle.
Of Ohio is really, it's who's going to draft first next year bowl. Because
yeah.
The one thing that they're real proud of in Ohio is they've got 2 number one overall picks. And I'm like, that just basically means your entire state sucks at football a lot. If you've got the 2 number one overall picks, that means the Browns and Bengals have sucked recently quite a bit and quite hard. And that's true. So, yeah, enjoy that. Thursday night football. Oof, you want ratings? You put Cincinnati and Cleveland on my TV? Forget it. That is, wow, that's like the Roots finale or the end of MASH. You're going to get some numbers on that thing. That's going to be shockingly disappointing for the networks. You'll be watching.
And there will be a percentage wanting to see Joe Burrow.
No, there won't. Nobody cares.
I'm talking about 2 or 3%.
Right. There is a percentage that's accurate, but it doesn't mean it's a healthy one. There's a percentage of people who like to watch people bleed out from the eyes, too. It doesn't mean it's good. I'm in the low percentage of people that love that medical talks thing on Instagram. I get sent those.
Oh,
I love it.
Miss Angemi and
Miss Angemi is the greatest.
Yeah.
But I am in a low group of people. That is not a high mark. It's not a percentage you want to hang your hat on.
Yeah, usually the reaction isn't, cool.
Yeah.
To those.
No. You're not going to put that on TV.
No.
Yeah, and I get emails from people who are like, Mike just said, he said two Ohio high school football players have been suspended because they carried American flags out onto the field to honor their firefighter father and police father on 9/11. And they got trounced for that. I just don't understand.
Yeah, don't
well, again, that's the presentation again. I just don't understand how it became this. I just don't get. I don't get how we got here.
I don't either.
I really don't understand how we got here. None of this makes sense. And then there's a guy up in Massachusetts, and I don't know how much you can have passion for anything like this. Larry's buddy is an industrial engineer, and he had 4 years ago political signs in his front yard that people kept tearing out. He lives in a very liberal section of town, we'll say. And he was putting things that weren't liberal in his front yard, basically saying, I'm an American who chooses this direction to go political. Well, his signs were getting kicked down. So in his brilliance, he made the sign look like a regular sign, but it was – he put footers 2.5 feet down into his grass, built this cement box behind the sign that you wouldn't know, and if you tried to kick that sign, your foot broke. And he got a few – he had a tape. He had video of it, people trying to take it. It was fantastic.
Great.
But I'm like, how – because that's like how much in love with the idea of your thoughts being presented to your neighbors – is important. There's a guy in Massachusetts who has Trump signs in his front yard, and he called the cops several times because his neighbors keep tearing them up. He electrified them and then put an electric fence around
them. Too, yeah.
And I'm like, I get that you're frustrated, but is like, are we there? Is that where we're at? Is that what we do? Like, I don't want my neighbors to know my voting habits. I just don't. I don't want to have flags up that I have to electrify because that's tough.
That,
yeah, come January, that makes the wave when you're driving down the road a little tougher. He's a guy who electrified his stuff in his front yard. Now, I'll do it for my Christmas decorations. Those are expensive. I've had those swiped a couple of times. I'll electrify the hell out of those. That's great. But, I mean, Larry's buddy went to the great lengths of actually digging a hole, cementing, putting in footers because he knows engineering and putting it thin enough to make it look like the sign had no back.
It's a cardboard sign.
And people tried to kick it or wreck it, and they were like, "Gah!" The videos were amazing, but he's like, I'm not putting it out there.
I was going to say, is that a Bradio video today?
No, I wish.
Damn it.
They were fantastic. And it's funny, but I'm like, really? That's a lot of time and effort just to make somebody hurt their foot.
Well, you should see the other one where the pit is in front of the sign.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, if you're into it,
trap
that
door.
Way. Yeah, I would love, like, trap doors have always been a dream of mine. Like,
you'll picnic blanket over the hole.
Exactly.
Like, I always wanted the ejector seat, like just the big ejector.
The thing
platform.
I've never understood was like how you put that net and cover it with leaves to where somebody steps on the net and it swallows them up and pulls them up in a tree. Booby traps have always been fascinating to me because they're only on TV and cartoons, but they're very real. Digging a hole and covering it and having people fall in it is a dream of mine. Like, it's trap doors in a house, that's the ultimate sign of success for me. The button, where I'm like, just take a step to the left, to shoot you into a dungeon in my home, I can't. But there's no company that builds those, is there? It's not a real thing, is it? There isn't.
I don't know of any.
Could I get a contractor to actually have a
trap? You got
to
do your own. You got to get your own bobcat and dig your own hole.
I think Kostelander could hook you up with a few guys that could do that for you.
Again, if I could get a superhero involved in it, but now we're going into fantasy land again. I'm not kidding. If I could get my guy Aaron Bishop to bring his contracting company over and say, all right, what do you need? Well, I need somewhere right about here by my front door a 35-foot death pit for people that won't leave. And I just hit a button and it opens. Like, you can't. That's not legal. I'm like, why not? Why is that? I'm not going to keep them. I'm just sending. I'm sending a message that say I got me a trap door.
The last time there, there was a construction company, a couple of them, especially in Seattle, where the term Shanghai came from. They had a lot of trap doors built in bars and stuff.
I have to wonder if that's
true. Get the guys liquored up, drop the door.
I think that's all lore.
That's hilarious.
I don't think any of it's real.
Because there's a little tour in there.
How does anyone not know that the trap door is below you?
But that's what I'm saying.
At some point, the first guy that goes through the next guy after that is going to be
the rumors spread real fast.
Yeah,
when somebody goes into a
trap. What happened to Jerry?
Don't go into that bar.
Yeah, and I think where it started was it wasn't actually a door that would drop down. The guy would go in there.
Yeah.
It basically the guy would be passed out drunk. They'd get him so drunk, lift the door up and storm in there the next day.
It's a drunk tank.
Sure. Yeah. Wakes up on the ship.
You can, right, and you get shanghaied. That's the same thing as roofies.
They send you over to...
And then they make you work in a prison camp somewhere else. Yeah, yeah. No, that's different. And shanghaiing, guys, was kidnapping.
Yep.
So it was, but booby traps for just people I don't want on my front porch. That's what I'm talking about. Like general household. Like if I'm looking at houses, if I'm in real estate, I'm like, I'd like to look at this house. And the guy goes, and also, electrified trap door right here for unwanted visitors. And I'm like, I'll take it.
Just put the spring-loaded punching glove.
Where's that?
Look right here. Yeah. Boom!
It says Acme on it.
Yeah, cartoon living is the best living, man. That's a fact. Yeah. And see, this is where everybody, Kelly says, remember your trapdoor idea reminded me of the scene where in Hans Blix and Team America was sent into the shark tank by Kim Jong-un when he hit the trapdoor and he sent him down into the... Hans Blix was the inspector for the weapons.
That's right.
Hans Blix, take a step over to the rafter, Riddle.
And then he put him in the trapdoor, and next thing you know, you see Hans's skeleton in his shark tank because the sharks ate him. That's a dream world of mine. A full-size shark tank with a trapdoor that shoots the people stealing my identity in there. I think that would be amazing. Yeah, I want that, but it doesn't exist. It's all in our fantasy minds. But we electrify our political fences now. I don't know. Brady, if you put up Trump signs in your front yard and they got kicked down every day, would you keep doing it? Or just be like, I'm not going to put the sign up anymore.
Yeah,
my vote is more important. Yeah, because I just don't want that. Because like January and February, you're still a marked man. You're the guy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Someone in that neighborhood was like, I hate his political view. Because you're inviting too many idiots. Your vote should be, I don't know when we got so public with all that. Like the I like Ike thing was fine, but that was back when people wouldn't beat you up for liking Ike. It doesn't seem worth it right now.
The thing is, your sign is not going to change my opinion or Brady's opinion or Toledo's opinion. Right. It's you know.
It shows me who you are.
Right.
I disagree with that. I think there's a large group of people that if they see enough of one thing in their area, they're like, oh, I better fall in line. I don't think that. I think there's also
really?
A group. I do.
It aligns you with the other people
in
your neighborhood.
You think there's that many weak-minded people like in your neighborhood that would be influenced
100%
by
100% agree.
Really? Sure. Yes. That's why they have it all the time.
Well, I think that the reason why is because there's a lot of fence sitters, especially in elections.
Sure,
like
undeciders.
And if they see the majority of people in their area doing something, they're like, I don't want to be the odd man out. Look what happens to you when you're the odd man out in public.
Well, that's why we have the president we have now.
Well,
right?
It's a fact.
I mean, we talked about that 4 years ago.
I also think it invites the stubborn mind to say, I'm going to vote against this because they're pushing me. So, but I don't think there's a logical end to the signs in your front yard that push one person in a direction or the other. But I think a fence sitter sees his neighbors all in a row and they're like, I'm not in on this camp, but I got to live here. And I'm really not passionate about either way. I do think it actually kind of sways people's minds. I honestly do. I think that a strong mind sits and sees it and says, I'm going to do whatever I want.
Right.
And it might push them actually into a stronger position of like, I have to vote the other way now because look how many people are there. But I think a weaker mind, and I think there's tons of them, see those signs and think, man, there's majority of those. I want to be, we've had this study before where people want to vote for the winning president rather than what they really think. They want to be on the side of winning. That's why they always say, oh, you're throwing your vote away if you vote for a libertarian or you vote for somebody else. You're throwing it away. That guy doesn't have a chance to win. And I'm like, no, you're not throwing it away. You're making your statement. Your vote is your voice. And so if you vote for the Green Party or the Libertarian Party, you're probably not going to vote for the winner, but you voted for your beliefs. And that's what you're supposed to do. And the study that came out that the majority of people want to vote for who's winning and they feel like a failure if their guy loses, if they're not really affiliated. There's a lot of weak-minded people out there I think the signs work on.
Maybe I just got my rose-colored glasses on because it's hard to comprehend that people are that goddamn stupid.
Have you
that,
seen you know, people? Have you been out there, Brett?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's like, come on.
Yeah, no.
Like, my sign is going to influence your vote one way or another, mine and my neighbors.
The weak mind. Yeah.
But the
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just, wow.
But the person that's making their initial decision over and above that is being influenced by something else. It's just this is a quicker.
Well, you're hoping
whether
that's
it's a
not
sign
influence.
Or whether it's the news that you're getting from the stories that you're reading about that's influencing you.
Also, I mean, the signs work or you wouldn't see them all over the place.
Right.
I mean, you see that though, those people, there's on Camelback or not Camel, Lincoln and 24th Street. One candidate has flooded that entire little fork in the, like where 24th Street meets Lincoln is kind of a weird setup. So there's like little triangular islands in the middle of this thing all over. It's covered with one person.
And you know the genius of that? once you stake claim until the election is over, you can't move them because it's considered it's considered vandalism to move a political sign.
But if you see this, the name sticks.
Yeah.
And so you're like, that
idiot. Those studies of the corner ones, I agree, but I don't know about the lawn ones.
Oh, I don't know, but I'm just saying the more you see something, the more you see it,
you're thinking,
the more you're like, well,
this guy's more popular.
That's the one people want.
It's like seeing something before you take a test.
That's why the money buys it.
Yeah, that's what people want. And that's why money buys it. That's why advertising is almost always the person with more money for TV advertising is the winner. It has nothing to do with what they're saying. It's just a familiarity. You're constantly being pushed like this guy's everywhere.
But it's visual. It's like perusing flashcards before you take a test. It's in your mind. As soon, like if you see that on a corner right before you go vote, that's the one name I remember.
And it makes you feel educated.
And it does.
It's like, I know this
one. I know this one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're dumb.
Smuck.
So Neil says, the people you're talking about are called women. Neil. So they're the ones that see all this stuff and go, I better vote for that so my neighbors don't hate me. I think there's truth to that. Like especially social people.
Yeah.
Like Brady, you're a social guy. If in fact your entire neighborhood and everyone you socialized with was left-leaning, crazy left-leaning, you would probably sit and go, I can't let them know that.
On either side.
Well, right. But I mean, if it was really heavy one way with all the people you hung out with,
it
would sway you.
Yeah.
It would start to move you. Like, I better get on board here because if these people find out, I'm not going to be invited to these anymore. And I think there's truth to like what Neil says is a joke. Like women that get into little groups of like mommy groups and stuff.
Yes.
They'll cast your ass out.
Yeah.
If you've got a Trump sign in your front yard, all of a sudden you're like, oh, really?
Well,
we're not inviting you anymore.
And that's what Facebook is in trouble for. Not really in trouble for, but because that's where everybody's gravitated so much. There are teacher and parent groups that are on Facebook that you have to be invited to. And as soon as you say something opposite of what they want to say, they kick you out of the group.
Yeah. It's not always, but it's out there.
Not always, but there's a ton of them.
Aiden says, I'm influenced not to vote for every a-hole that blocks my ability to see around a corner. So I'll remember your goddamn name every election year. I almost get hit every time I turn. It's true, too. Those are the ones I remember. And dirty words like that that lady whose name was Fuchs.
Yep.
And I remember her.
Tempe.
Schmuck.
Schmuck. And then there was the.
And then the other one, Sal DiCiccio, because he does mob related.
He's my guy. He's going to get things done. But there was another one like Butt Crack or something. I can't remember. It was like the most obviously silly name ever.
Oh, the
ever.
One where they
and they kept changing it. And I'm like, oh, my God, this poor bastard.
And somebody's long last name had the last part head, H-E-A-D.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you can't help it.
No.
Those are the ones you remember because I'm a child. I'm a teenage boy. And there's nothing you can do about that.
John, two people you need in your phone if you're looking for trap doors.
Yeah?
One, Matt Lauer. Two, the Mexican cartels.
Yeah. El Chapo's got you.
I bet you. Oh, you're right. Matt Lauer and the Mexican cartels is also a great band name. If you want to start a band right now, a 50s doo-wop cover band, Matt Lauer and the Mexican cartels. Has to be something. I want to see that on the marquee so bad at the Anvil or whatever, the Mason Jar they call it again.
The Weekends in Rocky Point would be just.
Man. Please welcome to the stage, Matt Lauer and the Mexican Cartels.
John, you're right. Kate Brophy McGee is the name of that lady at 24th and Lincoln. She's got every sign
I'm
there.
I'm telling you, man. It's 100.
Brophy McGee, does she own the school?
I don't know. But the name sticks, and it is everywhere. You cannot. There was a couple others that are up there that take up another triangle, but they've owned the triangle with hundreds of signs. Hundreds. Signs work because people don't really want to do much research. So they just go by how many did you put up.
I recognize that name.
Yeah. I think the signs are definitely a – because nobody really knows what they –
The picture too.
Well, yeah, I don't get the picture.
Like if they have a hideous –
right.
You know, or some crazy hair.
That lady that had the bad hair was really pretty, but we made fun of her hair. And then she's like, this is what we've come to? I'm like, man, you got to be presentable. Sorry.
We make
fun of Trump's hair all the time. I don't know why you're any different.
It was like that old movie with Eddie Murphy, The Distinguished Gentleman, where he had the same guy's name, and it was a white guy, and he ran and won. Yeah.
They had no idea.
Yeah, no clue.
It's all based in that. It's crazy.
And Gilbert, sometimes the signs wrap around the corner because there's so many family members in the to get them all in the poster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Hillary has
27 kids.
I think Hillary was the first one that outspent her opponent and lost. Is like the first president in the last 20 something years or something like that has outspent on television and lost. And it was, you know, people then go, it was strategy. She spent in the wrong places, but she outspent somehow and lost.
John, I don't know if it worked, but I know someone who rubbed poison ivy leaves all over the signs in their yard. Don't know if it was effective, but I want to think that it was.
That's wow. pretty good. That's Thunderhorse says you're trying to remember a guy named Rodney Glassman. That's the dude, because everybody changed the sign to Assman. Rod Assman. Yeah. And I saw Rod Assman 1,000. I don't even know, did he win? He might have, but Rodney Glassman was awesome. Because Assman was everywhere around the city, and I was dying laughing at the Assman signs. Because he had to go on TV and go, please, that's vandalism, it's illegal. Stop turning my name into Assman.
Unless Rod I win, then it's okay.
Yeah, well, I'll take it, but you're going to remember me. Yeah, it's nuts. But
just change it.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't know. Electrifying the sign in my front yard seems a bridge too far when it really doesn't. Like,
oh, you lost the Republican
damn
primary.
Damn it. Yes, man. Who did he lose to? Glasscock? Dick Glasscock and Rodney Assman. Glassman. Damn it. Yeah, have a funny name and I'll vote for you because I don't think anybody's doing anything anyway. Yeah, it's weird. The political season is just laying heavy on top of us all. And that electrified sign got me laughing. And then I started to dive into, I haven't watched it yet, but reading about that Chinese couple that froze their baby with cancer. Yeah. They did that 5 years ago. That baby's,
so the baby's
ice an ice
cubes?
Cube. Yeah, he's in the he's in the old LG right now, just hanging out waiting for the baby is.
Hopefully no one dropped it like whose head was cryogenically.
Oh, every one of them. Ted Williams.
Ted Williams.
They were playing soccer.
They put it up on a tuna can.
But that was the head freezing. They froze this kid's whole body.
Whole body.
Yeah, this thing's all froze up. And I don't know. Like Toledo said, he'd never do it for his kids because he didn't get to hang out with them later. So why would I foot the bill for this kid's life later if he's dying of the? I don't think. I think that if they gave you that option, you'd do it.
So it's like Hansel and Carbonite.
Yeah, I would love to see the baby. And I want to like God. If the what if the technology happens? But then you'd have to be like celebrate birthday. You couldn't have any closure in your life with this half dead kid. In your freezer.
You mean, yeah, if you're alive by the time the technology
it
happens,
doesn't matter. So. Like right now, if you had a kid and it was dying and like
and
we can freeze it.
At 5 years old, right?
Right. And then every year of your life on its birthday, Christmas, and everything else, you got to go visit it and you got to keep hope alive.
No, don't celebrate that birthday.
For your Ice Cube Baby. An Ice Cube Baby, also a great band name, but Ice Cube Baby's there. And then, you know, the technology never happens, and you've lived with this hope, and then you die with this hope, and I don't think it's worth it.
They come out of it, and all of a sudden there's freezer burn or something.
Right, and then they smell funny. Because freezer burn smells funny. You got to constantly scrape them with a butter knife to get that crust off. It's still good. That's all you'd say. We can still use this. Yeah, there's nothing worse than that top layer of freezer burn on your kid.
Any more of those vacuum seal pumps and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You gotta melt them out. Move to the Arctic.
I couldn't do it.
Freeze your kid? That's a big step, Ray. That's good to hear.
No, I mean, like, especially at 5 years old.
When would you freeze them? What is a good proper age for freezing?
Baby?
Egg, maybe. Storing eggs.
When they start pissing you
off. Oh, you'd freeze eggs. But that's not
but
a baby.
But as soon as it has a face, you're not freezing it.
Yeah, freezing eggs is no big deal. You can use those. Yeah. They actually have the technology that matters. But yeah, once it comes out and it's got like a double lump on its head and a third arm, you're like,
freeze it. Put it in the
freeze
freezer.
That thing up until we can figure this out. That's no good. You're just admitting this one's no good. We got to pump a bunch of froze on that, and we'll get back to you in a few minutes. We're going to try to make a normal baby now. I don't think that works. Would you freeze a teenager?
No, I'm just saying once they're, you know, out and living life, you know, for 5 years.
He's trying to dance around that. Once they're
I'm just saying, I'm just trying to picture at
Start
5 years.
Start in here. Start now. Okay, he's out.
They're old enough to know. Like, I'm sorry, you know, your
we
mom
have to
and
freeze
I.
You.
Your mom and I decide we're going to freeze you.
That's another reason why I wouldn't freeze him. Because
but what if the kid says, freeze me?
They're not going to have again, the wherewithal to do that.
The doctors will tell him there's only one option here.
That
you're going to die.
Five-year-old isn't going to
a five-year-old, but he's
frozen.
Talking about a kid that's once they're out
no,
and
I'm
talking.
No, I'm talking about the five. I mean, the five-year-old.
Five-year-old could say freeze me. They'd probably be more likely
to
say
it. But I would also say, you know, at that particular time, like I don't think they really realize what they're
Kirby, God forbid, gets a magic space bubble on her head. They can't cure, but they're like, maybe we can someday. And Kirby says, they say they can fix me, Dad. Freeze me. You're going to say no?
Yeah.
Really? You're going to say you're going to die from magic space bubble.
Or it could go away. There's a possibility.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But you're just going to
do the treat. You're going to live your life.
The doctors tell you it's not going away, and it's going to be quite painful.
Yeah.
but we can freeze her.
This is the life that we have.
Wow, all right. I don't think I could look a kid in the eye and go, no, I'm not freezing you. you're dying. I don't think I could do it. I go, no, you're going to die from this, probably. And we can hope that it goes away. Or we can freeze you, and you won't know any different from here. But you'll go into that box scared, thinking, all right, when they unthaw me.
And what happens to that kid, like when the parents die?
Yeah.
And then, what is the kid forgotten in the back of the freezer, like the bird's eye piece?
There's
a what?
I mean, yes. There's a video where it says, son, sorry we froze you and we're gone now. Yeah.
They got a kid. Well, that's the thing. If the parents die, the little Chinese baby has to just get buried with them. Because you can't.
The minute check doesn't come into the freezer
thing. Well, that's true, too.
We had that thawed out at midnight.
With our cord blood, we had that.
That's true. Brady's right. Once your 33.15 a month stops coming, that baby's out on the sidewalk melting.
Ooh, it's a hot day, too.
It's a hot one. We're going to take it. That's probably why they had the cryogenic thing up in Scottsdale for years. It's like, look, when the checks stop coming, put Ted Williams' baseball head outside. Lump it out. But, yeah, I don't think I could look a kid in the eye and say, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to freeze you. But you're right. Because, you're 25 years from now, if the parents are both gone and this baby's like, okay, we got the technology to undo this, then what happens to the kid? It's still five.
You're also assuming that there's no glitches on the technology of the freezer going out. I mean, how many times it's like
electric
they bought an Amana or something? It's really old.
Wow.
Freezer goes out.
The old Kenmore takes a dump.
This is where the mind of a frugal man comes in. Because Brady assumes that they're going to cut corners, maybe buy some Amana. Or
what kind of unit you freeze in?
And the people are like, oh, we have nothing but Sub-Zeros. Brady's brain goes, that's a pretty penny. Sorry, Kirby, not going to freeze. But dude with Amana might have a reasonable freezing.
Half the price.
Yeah, half the price. Double the risk. I'll freeze Kirby.
But I don't even care if it's, on the Sub-Zero or Amana.
Yeah.
You're dependent on power, and you're assuming that nothing's going to happen.
You would hope.
Then you need a backup to the backup.
You would hope that, hospitals have generators. When the power's out, it's like, we've lost all the ability to keep the frozen organs together because we didn't even think about a power outage. They have backups to their backups. They have, the recidivism of
a backup upon the backup.
Yeah, it's like airplanes are like, well, that's broken. There's a backup to everything.
I know.
Yeah.
Brady, is this why I saw you cruising the 27 cubic foot chest freezers at Costco the other day?
Were you?
Where is she moving the chicken fingers and the frozen pizzas? Where's Kirby?
Daddy, I got another headache from my space bubble.
Not freezing until we get a reasonable price.
Yeah, the mind of a frugal man says, what if he's gotten a Amana? Is that? He's thinking brand names.
What is that, a Magnavox? I didn't even know they made freezers. $35.50 a month's a little high, buddy.
Look, sister, we're riding the storm out.
Yeah.
I don't know, John.
I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could look a kid in the eyes if it told me I want to be frozen and I want a chance. I'd be like, okay, I think I'd do it.
I don't know, John. We freeze every freak. We wouldn't have been graced with Danny DeVito.
Well, we're not freezing all the freaks. Danny DeVito didn't have a debilitating, deadly illness that needed to freeze him so we could teach him to be 6 feet tall someday. Brady'd be in a freezer in that case. What, everybody under 5'6" gets frozen until we figure out how to stretch them? You can't do that to
a kid.
I'm
on a rack.
Yeah. You freeze Danny DeVito now? But yeah, I don't. A 5-year, like an old man that says, freeze me. I'm like, you've had enough time here. We're done. What do you want to come back and just get scared by technology more? You're not doing so great now. But that documentary is going to be, it's all subtitled and stuff, but it's fascinating to think of because honestly, think of your kid looking at you going, I don't want to die, because they don't. And the doctors are saying there's only one option, especially a kid, though.
Yeah.
And that's just horrifying. And you tell them, like, look, we can freeze you up. Either way, you're going to disappear for a while, but this at least maybe we can reanimate you.
Well, and the crazy part, is if the parents do die or whatever and there is a cure and they thaw them out and everything else, that kid's 5 years old now, has no idea who his parents, whatever's going on.
Yeah.
Nothing.
How long do you let it drag out? This documentary.
No bond.
I got to watch this. I'm watching this tonight. Instead of watching basketball and stuff. I've been watching a lot of basketball. Great game.
I think they might be closer to putting the head to a new body.
Than freezing and unfreezing?
Yeah.
No, they actually do the freezing thing a lot right now.
I know, but that doesn't mean they don't.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying hospitals will take your body and drop your temperature to death levels to work on you and then bring you right back. They can do that. Now, whether or not they can put you in a Amana
long-term,
and freeze you long-term, that's undecided. But they're nowhere near the microsurgeries necessary to re-sew a head onto another body.
You got that one guy in Spain that's ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. People are volunteering.
Face transplants.
Yeah. Face transplants are amazing.
But that one, the other guy that has the complete head, the host,
he wants that whole thing going on. Yeah, whether they can do that. I mean, it's just it's a matter of the materials being small enough to get those surgeries done. They can do. They have. I watched a special on it once. They're like, we understand how to do it.
Yeah.
We just don't have the materials small enough to reattach and do all this. They might now. That was a few years ago. But they're like, we get how to take a head off of something and put it on something else. Whether the host body rejects it, it's a different story.
Frankenstein is around the corner.
They know how it would work. They can add things to your body and make them work. But to get your brain to click and do all the other stuff, they can sew it on there and do the Frankenstein. It's just whether or not the body communicates. That's the one thing. That's the big dilemma on whether or not there's more to it that we don't know. It's crazy. But, yeah, freezing a Chinese baby? I don't know. I think I have to do it. Look me in the eye. Those cute little dying eyes.
Please freeze me.
I'm like, oh, see, I got a freezer.
Ricky
freeze,
Schroeder
freeze.
From The Champ.
Oh, my God, the end of The Champ.
Come on, Champ. Wake up, Champ. What's going on, Champ? Bring it back.
I'm like, I'd freeze John Voight and Ricky Schroeder that day. We got to get The Champ back. Oh, man, that's brutal watching Ricky Schroeder run around crying like that. That's a tough one.
Come on, Champ.
Oh, if you've never seen it, have you ever seen The Champ?
I haven't.
Oh, my God. It's brutal. It's not a great movie, but the ending, spoiler alert, John Voight gets killed winning the championship back. And this little 7-year-old kid, Ricky Schroeder, just whips up some tears and starts running around trying to get his body to come back to life. It is brutal. Yeah, you want to freeze everybody.
An Old Yeller type ending?
It's very Old Yeller. Okay. You knew it wasn't going right. Just like Old Yeller, you're like, what's this story about? Then you realize, oh, it's going to be about that guy dying. Yeah, every dog movie is about the dog dying eventually. And most boxing movies are about the guy laying on a slab going, I done good, ain't I, kid? I done good.
You're the best, Champ. Champ?
And once he starts that crap.
Champ?
When he's asking his dead body.
Hey, Champ, what's happening? Make him come back.
And everybody's like, he's dead. And everybody in the room is like, he's dead, boy. He's dead. And he just kept reminding the boy that his.
Come on, Champ.
Oh, for Christ's sake, I'm getting weepy thinking about it. Why'd you bring that up? Got my identity stolen, for Christ's sake. I got a lot to think about.
Come on, Chip.
Oh, little Ricky Schroeder. Bastard.
The new version, he opens up a chest of dry ice, throws the champ in there.
right in the amana.
We got to freeze the champ.
All we got is this amana.
That's good prices. That's low prices. That's good. Stuff the champ in there. Come on, Chip.
Hey, I done good, kid. Freeze me. Freeze me if I start to go.
He's just real bad. Put him in the amana.
Amana is Brady's choice.
Got this beauty on eBay for $400. Kirby, get in. And take care of that space bubble on your head.
Yeah, I'd do it. It's frightening. Anyway, what's on the board of musical treats this morning, Brett?
All right, the wake-up song brought to you guys by Action Ride Shop. Check out their website, actionrideshop.com, or go to Instagram.
Oh, right. Well, I didn't ruin Shop. That at all, did I? Don't bring that part up right now. Just enjoy Action Ride Shop live right. In person over there on us.
Now they've got a fine Instagram.
Gilbert and the City. No. Their Instagram page is very hackable. All of them are. Look, why you got to do that? What advertisers, why you got to do that on the day that I get, knowledge of Instagram's hacking? Come on.
Got tons of stuff. Ozzy, Red, Killing Joke, Metallica, Ministry. I think this kind of goes with your identity theft, though.
Okay.
Killswitch Engage, My Curse.
Oh, that's a great song, too. Okay, we'll do a little Killswitch. And My Curse. Oh, you actually have one that's called Identity Theft by The Chats.
The Chats. It's kind of
The Who's Wolf Totem.
Yeah.
Great stuff. You got some good ones on there.
Yeah.
But I like your, Kill Switch is pretty solid. My Curse is a good one. We'll go with that.
Come on, Chip.
Now I want to watch that again. It's not a good movie. I remembered it being much better. When I was a kid, I remember.
I'm sure it holds up.
It's just a bad movie. Ricky Schroeder's so good that you're like, how is he not the greatest actor of all time as an adult? And he was really good on NYPD Blue, but this thing, and I think the movie was like 1978 or so. And Donald Trump has called it the greatest boxing movie of all time, by the way, because he loves John Voight, because John Voight likes him.
That's right.
Which is the funniest.
It's probably, without question, I think a lot of people say it, the greatest boxing movie ever made. I can't think of a second boxing movie, really, off the top of my head. Besides The Champ.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to pick Raging Helena. Bull by any means
Raging
with
Bull.
De Niro.
No, he's not going to.
De Niro's a hack. Jake LaMotta was a great guy. He would have voted for him. If Jake was still alive, he'd have voted for him. De Niro.
Same
idiot.
Guy. Same guy in every movie.
Yeah, he's always De Niro. You know, also, he's De Niro. I watched The Champ, and I saw Billy Flynn, played by John Voight, and I thought, that's the real Billy Flynn, even though he wasn't real. And I thought Ricky Schroeder, who's an unbelievable Republican big supporter, he's great, too.
Yeah, I think he gave John Voight the Medal of Honor because he actually brought up what was that movie called? The Babies movie. I forgot what it was. Babies 2. And John Voight got up and started dancing to the theme song. I'm like, what in the hell is going on?
Champ, it is the greatest boxing movie of all time. At the end, champ, 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 come back, bring it back, champ.
He reenacts.
I'm going to reenact an entire scene of Billy Flynn dying on the slab while little Ricky Schroeder cried. Here it goes. I did good, right, kid? Chip, chip, come back, chip. Please, kid, don't freeze me. Chip, chip.
You feel it?
It's great. One of the finest things ever. Donald Trump recreates movies. It's going to be a game later.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. The Champ. Well, you'll cry. But there's parts where Faye Dunaway shows up and she's his real mom. And they kind of veil that a little, like, no, I'm not. And then she's rich and stuff and takes him on this boat, and everybody's okay with it. Like, she just steals this kid. And the kid's allowed to do whatever. He was like 7. He's just it's the 70s.
He's all set.
He's free to roam all over the place. He has no boundaries. And he's running, like, he has a racehorse. He buys a racehorse.
Should be.
He hangs out at a track all day, and he's just adorable. And, you know, drifters take care of him. And it's unbelievable, like, the freedoms that this
There's
kid
good
has.
Good people out there, John.
And that's when America was great, when 7-year-olds could walk around free, get napped up by a drifter and taken back to their parents rather than sold into the sex trade. We have to make America better.
The Champ. Don't do that to me. I don't even know what brought that up, but I hate it. You don't want to be frozen?
No.
See, I think I would, only because I have the mindset to know that if they unfroze
too advanced
me.
Technology
look, no, no, no,
or something?
No. If they unfroze me a couple hundred years from now, just to see it freak out at it and then, like, die. I wouldn't want to live in the future. I just want to get a glimpse of it and then be done. So freeze me and then wake me up like 200 years from now and go, are you ready? You're not going to believe what you see. And then just have that vision. Like, if they could do it and you'd only be alive for 24 hours, would you do it? You get frozen and then they're going to wake you up in 100
what
years.
What are you talking about doing it? Like, right now, you'd say, no, go ahead and freeze
Let's me. Say you get diagnosed with an incurable tumor.
Okay.
All right, it's going to kill you.
That changes it.
And then,
for
yeah,
sure.
And you're like, I'm going to die. And they're like, but we can freeze you.
And you're anywhere from 6 months to 2 years
Maybe,
or whatever.
Who knows? But, be, they, yeah. but you're not feeling good. Yeah. Every day's a struggle.
This
and you're
isn't
like,
the
this isn't living. And they're like, we can freeze you. And then when we figure this out, we'll wake you up and you'll have 24 hours to see the world 100 years from now. And that's a thing that would you do it? And
I
then
might.
You, and you just peek up and go, like, it's like that movie AI with Haley Joel Osment where he was allowed. Like, everybody's allowed to come back for a day, which is a beautiful idea. Anybody who's died can come back and visit you for one solid day. They can reanimate you for 24 hours. It was unreal. Because then you get to pick, like, I would pick Hitler and just fist fight him. Like, it would be, like, he comes back for that one, and we reanimate him, and then we fist fight for 24 hours. And if Hitler kicked my ass, he kicked my ass, but it'd be kind of fun.
So you want to be like Demolition Man, like Stallone coming back in the future.
Yeah.
100 years.
Yeah.
Later.
And then but you don't have to solve crimes or anything. You just get to look at everything for 24 hours. It's like your first day of sixth grade. You get a kid named John Jensen that shows you around the school for a little bit. And you're like, oh, thanks, Jensen. And he just shows you where all the stuff is. And you're just blown away. And then you die later that night peacefully. It would be amazing. I would sign up for that in a heartbeat.
Especially if it was some serious time has passed.
Oh, yeah, like 100 years. Yeah. Even 50 years. If you consider what was going on in 1970 compared to now, if you were frozen in 1970 and woke up today.
Amazing.
Holy. It would be horrifying.
You'd probably say,
what's wrong with
me.
You people?
Freeze me.
Yeah, get me out of here. I want out of this. What's wrong with these people? They're volunteering their entire personal lives constantly. I think that would be the most shocking thing to somebody 50 years ago is how much personal information we leak out constantly. Like, my God. And the sex? A 1970s person waking up today going, what happened?
What do you mean? That's just the past.
AIDS, what's that?
Past
condoms,
you.
Come on.
Oh, and the 24
I'm
hours.
Going to jail?
Imagine in your 24 hours how many times you would accidentally sexually harass Something you'd smell like cigarettes and be like, hey, what's up, sugar? How you doing? She's got a good looking ass, that one.
What? You don't want it?
Yeah. No, he's only alive for 24 hours. He's from the 70s.
She got a great ass, your friend there. Come on, dude. Stop. You can't say that. What?
Why don't you get me a coffee?
Yeah, why don't you go grab me a coffee, sugar? Because I think you are special and I like watching you walk away.
What the hell is HR?
Yeah. When did the ladies get all this juice? How come you get so many women working here? What is this, a tampon factory? You're going to get us fired. No, this is my 1970s day guy. He's just here for a day.
I'll tell you what's wrong with your company. You're paying him way too much.
Yeah, you got these ladies are getting uppity. How much is she making? Holy. She has to suck everybody in here, right? Oh, my God. Shut up.
Yeah, management?
1970s guy living today. And that's just 1970. He'd be done. Like, it would take about an hour and a half. That's a nice-looking dress. It would look better on my floor. Okay, 70s guy, you're not getting laid. What? And the music would scare. Everything would be horrifying.
Yeah, can you imagine somebody from the 70s hearing WAP for the first time? I mean, Christ.
Yes.
Yeah,
I would
that's
like
easy.
That.
You hear that every day still.
And then you show him the champ. Make him cry. You just make his 24 hours miserable. We've been fired. You cried from the champ. You show him Ricky Schroeder's career from that point forward. Oh, it didn't work out. Anyway, Friesen sounds interesting. This documentary is going to be great. I forget what it's called. Like, I think it's called Frozen Chinese. I think it's called.
Sponsored by Amana.
Right. Amana's
brought
Frozen
to you by
Chinese.
Amana.
Brought to you by Colonel. What's the Colonel Chow's Chinese chicken or whatever it is? It's good in the freezer, too.
General Chow.
Our country is facing a major crisis. We need to find out what's causing it.
K-U-P-D. You want to get away. Far away. To a place people aren't. You know what'll get you there? A Jeep. That's right, an off-road machine with a big lift and big tires. A rolling definition of go big or go home. And at Chapman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you can save big on every new Jeep during the Jeep Adventure Days. Happening now. Visit us at the Scottsdale Auto Show off the 101 and Indian School Road or do it all online at ChapmanDodge.com. Chapman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Get more.